as he announced the order. This sound was recorded on the 8th of September 1962. That's the same email.
Greetings to you, Mr. Silas.
Greetings. As I have promised, I come in the endeavor once more to convey unto you past remembrances of our lives together. I have in this instance particularly concentrated my thoughts on ancient Pompeii.
Yes.
Since last I spoke, I have returned to Pompeii. And I must say, it is a sad visit to see in ruins that which once was so noble a city, and in which not only I, but many of my friends once spent so many happy hours. And it is difficult to recapture many things which once were so real, possibly because for so long have I been away from Earth, and those memories of that ancient time have become dimmed. But once again entering into that past, and entering as I did into that very city, now laid in ruin, I am able gradually, to some extent, to see again its past beauties, for indeed though it was in many ways in comparison to Rome a small and unimportant place, it was nevertheless a city of great beauty. And as I wandered again in my thoughts through its ancient streets, and peopling it with my remembrances of those faces, once so dear and so known, I became able for a brief time to bring it back to life. But I could not fail to feel, in spite of this, the remembrance of its last lingering hours of agony for so many. It was a strange and mixed emotion with which I stood once more in that part so known particularly and so dear to me, in the house of my friends and your friends. I could see once again its walls in all their frescoed beauty and colour, and the sumptuous hangings, and the gay apparel of its occupants. As I have told you, the others ready. were much given to magnificence because of their artistic leanings and inclination, and particularly with the one brother whose love for beauty was such that he would himself aid the artist in his work and give unto him the ideas that he wished to be carried out. And indeed, only a very short time before the tragedy occurred, he had given instructions and design for a room to be added, which was to be a very special room set aside for our work. I refer to our work in the sense that it was to be a sanctum, a room set aside. Previously, we had used a small room on the left side of the house as you entered towards the garden, which I see has been most destroyed. Seems that the rooms to the right are the best preserved and remain much more as I remember them. Even the paintings remain, and the colors are as strong as I remember them. But there is much, of course, that gone the upper story, the rooms that I remembered so well, where we would rest, sometimes partake of refreshment in the late afternoon, and watch from that terrace the people's passing in that daily routine of life, and what a mixed gathering it was, and how enjoyable it was to watch the many peoples from many places in their varying robes and their uniforms. How too interesting it was to be able to see sometimes the grand processions of past, sometimes of a religious nature. And as we would sit, we would see many of these gaily apparelled peoples passing to their various religious ceremonies and temples. There would be peoples past by, some being carried in litters, others would be in chariots, many would be on foot, and over on the far streets that we could perceive, there would be many peoples bartering and changing their monies, for this was a country where all peoples came. And Pompeii, particularly, was a city given over to much exchange. Great merchants would arrive, and they would open up their wares, and soon would be gathered round the grass-strong peoples, buying the rich materials that they brought from the east, many of which, indeed, the many brothers bought. And often, of course, it would be an interesting time for certain merchants, knowing of the many brothers, about the wonderful apparels and colour, would come to them, and they would spread their wares, and much haggling would take place, because they knew the value of their materials, and they knew the value of the very set abundant, and they knew the wealth of the Vedas. But the younger Vedi was the one who had perhaps the most delicate of tastes. Often it would be his prayer in the evenings when he entertained us, and would bring together various musicians, and we would sit in the gardens, and he would have various sports and entertainments, and various entities of varying nations would perform and sing and dance. And there were dwarfs, I remember, and I remember one dwarf in particular who came from far across the seas, who eventually became very much loved by one of the Vedas, the younger. This small creature, who was about 3 foot or so in height, was a fully adult male, but was most talented, and became a great companion and a great source, indeed of amusement, it is true, but his mind was a fine one, and he became very much part of our group, because he was given the sight to see, was able to give us manifestations of his powers. He came from a faraway country, far away indeed from Rome and Italy, as you refer to it now, my country. This dwarf, I remember well, we called Rookie. He was one of a tribe that came from the so-called land of the Egypts. He was not an Egyptian. I do not think any of us ever really discovered his real birth or nationality. He had been a wanderer with a tribe, and in some strange way had become the mascot of a ship that embarked many sailors, many men who came to barter in Pompeii, and this dwarf settled, did not return, and entertained in the market square, and was much given to amusement, and yet at the same time, in spite of his being able to entertain and live by the few coins that were thrown to him, he was a man of great serious disposition, and one, as I've said, of great psychic power, and he became eventually very much part of the household of the Vedas, and his skeleton, no doubt, still exists, because he was also, Dacia and others, caught in the eruption. Whether it is possible for the skeleton of this dwarf to still be seen, I know not, but I mention particularly this in case it should be so, because one could not obviously confuse the skeleton of a man such as he with that of a child, and it may be of interest, and I believe it is possible for you to discover some things, and it would be possible possibly for you to know this by some means. He was always adorned with a chain around his neck, and if his skeleton was found, the chain, no doubt, would have been preserved and would possibly be found and given a place and some distinction, for it was a chain of office that he wore that was given to him by the Betty brothers. And in this chain, which is a linked chain, in the center is a mask, of Shuma, which represents his talents to amuse. Also on this chain are figures of dancing satyrs and fauns, and other figures representing underworld mythological beings. Also in the house of the Betis, I remember it at the time, and every time that I visited it, as you entered the main entrance on the left hand side, in the vestibule of the entrance, as you would refer to it, was a large coffer which was heavily locked and guarded, and over which in an alcove was a lamp hung. This, I believe, contained all the records of the family, which were greatly valued. On the right of the entrance, there was a figure of one of the Greek goddesses, which I believe one of the Betis had made and sculpted by a Greek artisan. It is a figure of a woman, and I believe it is, I'm not sure the name of the goddess, but I think it is the goddess of love. And there were many such figures. There were many, it is not generally known, that in ancient Pompeii, carpets were never obviously discovered, but there were carpets, and I do not think today people realize that greatly beautifully woven carpets did exist, but often instead of putting them upon the ground, they were hung upon the walls, dividing and partitioning. One of the main features of the entrance of the House of the Betis was a huge lamp with many prongs from which wicks did issue, so that in the even and the night the hall was brilliantly illuminated. It was let down by a chain and would be lit and drawn up and fixed, and in other corners were what I suppose you might refer to as candles, and yet they were not candles as such, but they were large figurations of structural design of metal containing oil which burned in a kind of brazier, which was perfumed. All the oil was perfumed, so that at night there was this wonderful feeling, and this wonderful perfume, which was very beautiful, which I believe was made from some special substance derived from certain plants. I do not know quite what, but it was a feature, a great feature of the House of the Betis, the perfume, which was always more potent in the night because it was in some strange way mixed with the oil and burnt with it. There were in this house many rooms. Unfortunately, I could not help but notice on this visit of a few hours ago that much of its upper floor has gone. Indeed, there seems to be little left, because although the ground floors were beautiful, there was much on the upper floor which was most lavish and most artistic, not being as high, it is true, as the floor on the ground. but very beautiful, and supported by graceful arches and pillars. And also there were rooms for bathing, which has long since disappeared. It was a house that was very cleverly organized, very cleverly designed, and there's no doubt that our friends the Lettys were men of great artistic integrity, men of great thought, and men who had within themselves the great ability to see in advance what was going to transpire in regard to a plan that would be set out. Indeed, they were always changing. After the earthquake and some previous years, certain parts of the house had been badly affected and were renewed. New pillars were installed, and there was an entirely different form of decoration in certain parts of the house, which now I notice very few remain, but the best remaining part of the house as you enter the main entrance is definitely that on the right side. The left side seems to have been much more affected. Why that should have been, I know not. As I think back and try to recollect, I can remember also at the back of the house the open ground wherein the horses were kept and certain beasts of burden. And also there were two chariots and a litter for the ladies in the house. There were several Nubian servants who lived in the rear. And I remember vividly too, at the time my last visit, there was one Nubian slave whose wife had given birth to a small child. And this could have only been some few months before the catastrophe. And I assume that when the house was rediscovered, at the back of the house they would have found remnants of the horses, unless of course the horses were loosened and they were unable to use them to get away, but I do not think so. I'm sure I'm right in saying that at the back of the house and the victims they would have found the skeletons of probably several of the horses and cattle. I do not know if the Nubian slaves escaped, but I have been told since that the dwarf's body was found, and it was found in an outhouse where he had taken shelter, and that is why I'm so sure that when the house of the Bettys was rediscovered, they would have found his skeleton and also the chain of office. And he was a man who had great love and affection for the brothers Betty because they showed great kindness to him. And there's no doubt that he endeavoured to stay, thinking that this catastrophe would soon pass. So many, of course, were trapped, I understand, because they took shelter thinking it would be over in a very short time. It would not be anything like, of course, what it became. So many hung on thinking that when it abated they could make their escape. But of course by that time it was too late. For many of the houses by that time were completely covered. And of course they were asphyxiated. Outside the house of the Bettys, I'm told that the time of this catastrophe, a beggar man was found who had taken refuge in the archway of the door, and he was killed and would have been found in his prone position nearby the door. Whether these facts can be checked, I know.